This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Good to have you with us. I'm Jane Hamden. WUWM's series on economic development, Project Milwaukee, continues today with a perspective from the trenches. In community development agencies across the city, activists turned developers work in simple offices, in storefronts, and buildings with lots of vacancies. They apply and reapply and apply again for federal grants. They pitch investors on their downtrodden business districts and envision dynamic neighborhoods where outsiders see mostly blight. Howard Snyder is founder and for more than 25 years executive director of the Northwest Side Community Development Corporation. He has embraced this work and seen many gains in his sprawling quadrant of the city. Thank you so much, Howard Snyder, for joining us again.
Nice to see you, Jane. I'm happy to be back.
Your agency is in the business of creating business in depressed neighborhoods. What sorts of deals do you put together on the Northwest Side that help to reach the goals of the CDC?
Over the past couple of years, we have been bringing federal funds in to Milwaukee for what we call catalytic projects. We helped to finance the new Lena's, which was converted from an old Kohl's grocery store at the corner of Tatonia and Capitol Drive. And if you drive down West Capitol Drive, heading out of town or going the other direction, heading towards Sherwood, you really see a renaissance of business at that corner of Tatonia and Capitol. We were part of that. We lent some money to help build that building and that grocery store, and that was very exciting. We're also working on a new Lena's anchored shopping center at North Avenue at 24th Street, south of our neighborhood on North Avenue in the old Park West corridor, which when I started my career was probably the most fought over place in Milwaukee, and it's really wonderful to be back in that neighborhood. We're investing $600,000 in about a $7 or $8 million real estate deal down there with major partners, including Legacy Bank.
Describe, we talked about this last time you were on the program, but for people who don't know the area that you are more traditionally dealing with on the Northwest Side, you know, in many cities, this would be more suburban type area. It's kind of a sprawling part of Milwaukee. What are some of its special challenges?
Our traditional boundaries are Capitol Drive to the end of the city, both west and north. And so the far, far northwest side where the old Northridge was is a very difficult area. It's a nice part of town. It has a lot of middle-class families. It's very spread out. It looks like traditional suburbs, but it has what the Department of City Development a number of years called a suburban-urban paradox, and that it has a lot of the urban problems but suburban land use patterns. So it's an interesting place. Northridge, of course, is trying to be rebuilt into Granville Station, but it's very different from the rest of the city. If you think of the Sherman Park neighborhood or Bayview or the Lower East Side or River West, those are very traditional Milwaukee neighborhoods. The further north and west you go, the more untraditional it looks. And so economic development there is more like suburban and a lot like Central City.
So it's not traditional, but it still has many classic urban problems that many of the other CDCs are dealing with. Now, let me ask you this. After 25 years in the trenches, I know you have strong opinions about what's helping you and what's not helping you on the Northwest Side, helping efforts at economic redevelopment. What's going wrong? What are the partnerships? What does a CDC like yours need more of in Milwaukee to really help a region that's challenged?
I heard somebody say a few weeks ago, we need to do more with less. But I think that we only do less with less. And what we have is less. There's less assets. There's less resources. What we really have more of, which I've seen even in the past year since I was here, have been key volunteers, board members, people who are really interested in this work, who are getting deep into the trench with us, the professionals who have done this for a while. And I've seen just a renaissance of volunteerism at a board level, which can be very, very valuable. The problem is that there's not a lot of money, and government at almost every level is really broke. Not broken, but broke, when you see that almost the entire city budget goes to paying for police, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a fact. And it's really difficult for the city or for others to have resources to invest in economic growth when you're fighting crime.
You talked about the human potential and how that's encouraging, and I want to get back to that in just a moment. But to say that city government is broke, and you think that's because resources are going to the wrong place, there's not enough money coming from where? I mean, taxpayers are saying, if I have to pay any more, I'm going to leave.
The third rail of American politics is not Social Security anymore, it's just taxes. And really, since the Reagan years, it has been an unacceptable proposition for politicians to propose new taxes. And after a while, you just can't function if people aren't willing to sacrifice and to pay their fair share of taxes. And everybody says, I won't raise your taxes. Well, at some point, you can't work. You can't function. You can't build. You can't do things that you would like to do. Really, all you can do is employ firefighters and police, and you can keep basically a skeleton crew of city workers. The city budget, I think I saw, was about $1.25 billion. But it really needs to be quite larger than that for a city the size of 600,000 in a metropolitan area of 1.2, 1.3 million. We're the engine of growth in southeastern Wisconsin. But we don't grow, we survive.
There is a lot of conversation about the sharing of the tax burden regionally, and at least to take the parks out and to take some of the regional transportation, that kind of a thing out. Would this be the beginning of solving your problem? Because you are specifically a city entity that's going to get grants and so forth, but you need city funds.
City government is, of all the governments, is probably the best managed. You don't really hear about mismanagement of city tax dollars. You hear it in other entities, but certainly not. And people talk about waste sometimes with Milwaukee Public Schools, and certainly the county has had its problems. But that almost never happens with the city. But the city just doesn't have enough money to grow. And if you think about, go back into the 60s, and even maybe the early 70s, when people talked about investing in infrastructure and investing in education and investing in the space age and trying to make America technologically the most important place in the world, that costs money. But what politicians were really talking about was investment. We don't talk about that anymore. We talk about hanging on by our fingernails. And that's really a problem. And it's very difficult to blame any unit of government for some of the problems that are going on. I think that you can blame some politicians for a certain lack of leadership, because we all hear it is just unacceptable to raise taxes. And we have to go back to the kind of leadership that we had a long time ago, where we believed in government, we believed in government's ability to change things, to invest in people, to invest in education, to invest in human resources.
Well, is it mostly about having the guts to raise taxes, or is it also about having the leadership capability to say, we have to focus more on job creation, we have to find other ways in struggling neighborhoods to boost the potential of the residents?
There hasn't, the good old days were not 1983. We were already in the anti-tax environment. The anti-tax environment really started even before then. The cuts in federal funds began really in the Carter administration. But if all the years before that, in the Nixon administration, the Johnson administration, and the Kennedy administration, you saw this ramping up of building cities, of rebuilding urban areas and cities that had been affected by riots. And it isn't a matter of guts, because there's a lot of people with guts, and most of them, or many of them, get killed, you know, leading the charge, figuratively and literally. What you really need is vision, and we need as a country to overturn 25 or 30 years of this conservative wave of anti-government and anti-taxes.
Well, you're talking about federal funds, of course, and I'm sure you spend a lot of time applying for federal funds. So federal money, you know, state money, city money, a lot of people, though, think that a city like Milwaukee is a black hole. And when that money, you know, gets to you or anybody else, they don't know who you are. They don't know who your organization is. How do you persuade people that state, federal, local funds for an organization like yours is a good investment?
You never heard people in the early days of Henry Meyer, and I was just a kid and I wasn't living in Milwaukee, but you don't hear those days or of the Zeidlers talking about the city of Milwaukee as a black hole. I understand the sentiment, and I consider the sentiment to be offensive because the city is not a black hole. This city is a place that has been starved from reinvestment. It's been starved from leadership, and it's been starved of vision. A lot of people who have had vision in this town, who have tried to do big things, have failed in many ways, partly because of the peculiar nature of this city, which we've talked about before.
Well, let's remind our listeners now, who has had vision and failed, and just expand on that point.
Well, there have been a number of initiatives over the past 4 or 5 years, the ICM project, the Inner City Milwaukee project, or the Initiative for Competitive Milwaukee. There's now M7 or the Milwaukee 7. There were a number of other initiatives before that. I would say in many respects, John Norquist was a visionary. He knew how to get certain things done, and I give him a lot of credit. But those bigger visions either didn't work in the central city, or we didn't give them enough time, or they were starved of resources. And for whatever reason, the bigger you get in this town, the more people seem to rise up against the big idea.
What is wrong and what's right with the M7, so this big picture initiative to bolster regional cooperation?
Oh, I think that M7 is on the right path. It's an idea that we've talked about for a long time. We've not just talked about 7 counties. We've talked about 7 states. If you could take the 7 states and the Great Lakes region in the Midwest and include Iowa, you have one of the largest trading blocks in the world. We have to think of ourselves in strategic advantage, not in disadvantage.
So you're the executive director of the Northwest Side CDC, and you are looking after just a patchwork of neighborhoods up there, and you're thinking about a 7-state region?
I think that that's the only way to think. The problem with regionalism maybe 10 years ago was that it got stuck on the issue of metropolitan government. And a lot of people, if you're an alderman or you're a county supervisor or you're a county supervisor out in Waukesha, you don't want to give up those jobs too quickly. But regional government was certainly a stumbling block, but I think it became euphemistic for what we needed to do as a community in order to grow the Milwaukee metropolitan area. But it doesn't get very far because people have to compromise and they have to give up political power to do it.
Last time we talked, you were planning on stepping down as the executive director of this group and moving on, and you've decided to stay, at least for now. Why is that? Do you see more optimism? You still have that passion. What's changed?
Well, I don't think my passion has ever changed. My board of directors has asked me to stay until they can find somebody that could step into my job. And maybe there's an opportunity for me to be able to find something within a new configuration or the kinds of projects that, frankly, that I've been interested in, the Villard Avenue Library, redevelopment of the old tower. One thing that's really exciting, it will be the redevelopment of St. Michael Hospital. We're hoping that Milwaukee County will eventually buy it and turn it into the behavioral health division that's currently now out on a Watertown Plank Road. Our neighborhood has a chance to be a wonderful place for economic growth.
Well, you talked about giving your board a chance to find somebody else. You know, word's been out for a year that you were thinking of stepping down. Is it hard to find quality people to do this kind of stuff day after day, year after year?
I think that there are plenty of people who are my age, and there are plenty of people who are my kids' age. there are not a whole lot of people who are mid-career professionals that want to do this kind of work. And part of it is because there hasn't really been a nurturing in this city of the community development movement, so you don't see people moving up the ranks.
Thanks so much for joining us here again.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Howard Snyder is Executive Director of the Northwest Side Community Development Corporation. He has held the job for 25 years. Coming up next, gorgeous design for everyday things on display at MIAD. You're listening to Lake Effect from WUWM.